Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition, Season 1, Episode 1 of Inside Fantasy Football. I am your host, The Guru, and wow, it seems weird to be back on the radio doing a podcast, as it has been ages since I've done a podcast with fantasy football. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I have been playing fantasy football since 2004. And it's been ups and downs, of course, everybody knows. But how did I get the nickname The Guru? I know some of y'all saw this podcast, saw the name, like, what makes this guy a guru? And it comes from a show that me and one of my good friends used to do called Game of the Week, where we'd go over sports and fantasy sports. And I would have a gut feeling, as I call them, about players or something, or some topic in sports. And my friend, he nicknamed me The Guru because I give some fantasy advice, and it turned out good. He's like, man, you're like a guru when it comes to this fantasy sports. And I nicknamed him the professor because he's a well-educated guy, not only book sense, but common sense. So as we're doing the game of the week, you'd be the professor and the guru. And as time went on, in fantasy league that we play in called Friends and Family League, he had asked me questions about players, or I'd tell him about players I had just picked up off where I said I have a gut feeling about them, and it turned out doing good. So that sort of solidified my name as The Guru. To tell you a little bit about what to expect on Inside Fantasy Football, we're going to be going through the preseason here as the NFL draft starts tomorrow, Thursday night. And don't seem already that time for the draft, but it's here upon us. Leagues have opened up. People are planning their draft for their leagues. I am in a keeper destiny league, so I am looking forward to it. And wow, it's been a long time since last football season for us, one that plays fantasy football. And I know you're looking forward to it, and so am I. But starting next week, I'll be delivering my top 250 fantasy ranking players. And this is going to be a standard list. So if you're playing fantasy football, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure that you are, take these rankings and set them by your league settings, and judging by that, my list coming out next week will be unique. I'll have our website out next week. I'm finishing the final touches on it. And my list is going to have a unique twist. To find out what that twist is, you're going to have to join us next week and check out the website next week. I'll be giving you the website address and everything next week. And we do have a caller on the line calling 8685. Caller, you're on the air.
Guru, I've got to say, just having you on back on the air is, in the words of Matt Hardy, delightful.
Oh, the old boy from Cameron, North Carolina, delightful Matt Hardy of the Broken Brilliance, or as the WWE calls them, the Woken Brilliance. Yes.
Quick piece of advice I want to ask. Well, I want to ask your advice on something. I was looking through very preliminary look on some players, and I'm going to probably be calling you back, getting your insight on this. Christian McCaffrey, what do you see for him coming up this year?
Well, honestly, when the Panthers released Jonathan Stewart, to me that symbolized that they're ready to take the term. As you remember, North Turner took over the offensive play calling, or offensive coordinator position for the Panthers this past, I believe it was January, 1st of February, after they got rid of Mike Shula. And if anybody's been paying attention to fantasy football, I mean pro football, in fantasy terms, North Turner's players have really excelled. He tutored Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and the triplets in Dallas. And then you look at San Diego when he is out there with LaDainian Tomlinson and Michael Turner Burner. So it's going to be a great for Christian McCaffrey. And in the draft, or free agency, the Panthers may pick up a back, but he's going to be a complimentary back. He's not going to take that many carries away from Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to say McCaffrey's going to probably have 250 to 300 touches this year.
So you think he's going to be the main go-to guy this year for the Panthers?
Yeah, in the running back position, yes. And plus, remember, he can play the slot. He can go branch out and play wide receiver. So he's going to really show out this year, in my opinion.
I've got several other questions to ask you, but I'm just going to leave it with one more for tonight. T.Y. Hilton, I have had issues with him. He's done really well for me, but at the same time, I've had kind of a love-hate relationship. What do you see with T.Y. Hilton coming up this year?
T.Y. Hilton, Indianapolis Colts wide receiver. Well, be honest, with the whole Indianapolis Colts, it depends on Andrew Luck's shoulder and how it does this offseason through OTAs and training camp. I've seen reports that he's throwing with a football, but it's not a full-size, the Duke NFL football. It's the smaller size, or like a high school ball. So we just have to wait and look and see what all the reports are coming out through OTA and training camp. But, Professor, I know he's on your team, because I've already looked, since our league's opened up, I'm already looking at everybody's team to decide who I'm looking at. And I'd suggest to put him out on the waiver wire and maybe draft him in a late round.
Oh, so you're thinking let him go, don't have him as a keeper.
Depending on who you want to keep. And I could put you on the spot and ask you who your keepers are going to be, but I know you're going to play that close to the vest just like I am.
No, yeah. I'm not going to let you any inside information there. I probably will be asking you as time goes on, because I'm in another league, and so I'm going to probably be asking your opinion on some other players as time moves on.
Sounds good. We'll be here every Wednesday night. Good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, 11 o'clock.
Awesome blossom. It is delightful.
Delightful. Oh, me. Any more questions there, Professor?
I think that's all for tonight. I want to hit you up on some defensive questions coming up a little bit later on. But let me go ahead and just – well, I'll just wait and hold it off. Well, yeah, I'll wait and hold it off.
Delightful. Yeah, you might want to. We could take up a whole – I could take up a whole show answering your questions.
Trust me, I have plenty.
Well, that's beside the point, but anyway. But thanks for the nickname, Dire Professor of the Guru. I believe that it has been a sort of a, I'm not finding the word right here that I'm thinking of, but it really describes my.
Delightful.
Yeah, you could say that. You're stuck on the Matt Hardy tonight.
I am.
But the guru, yeah, we know where that comes from. My knowledge that I get, this gut feeling that I get, it comes from the man upstairs. So without him, nothing would be possible.
Enlightened.
That's it, enlightened state. Okay. Shall we continue on and make it more delightful and dig into what a lot of people probably want to hear is four players you should look at inquiring for your dynasty leagues. And I believe these four players, if they do not, if you're in a dynasty league and they are not selected as a keeper for your team, you might want to think about picking him up. And if you're in a money league, you can pick him up for real cheap since they had subpar seasons in the 2017. These could be potential targets that could acquire for the future if you're looking for these players. They have a ton of potential, and they could put you over the hump, chase that elusive league championship. We're going to start with the first. It is a quarterback. And some people are going to say, why is this quarterback on this list? It is Marcus Mariota out of Tennessee. If you look at his stats, in 2017, he regressed. He threw fewer touchdown passes and threw more interceptions than each of his previous two seasons. Add to the fact that he has yet to play a full season healthy, you may have a player that should and could come a deep discount compared to when he entered the league as a rookie. Remember, when Marcus Mariota came into the league as a rookie, he was hyped up. He was good, and I think he still is good. Part of the problem, I think, in Tennessee is they had to rebuild the wide receiver corp, the running back corp, an offensive line, and in fantasy football, offensive line has a big deal with your running back, quarterback, and wide receiver and tight end positions. So if quarterback's got to hurry to throw, that's going to lead to more interceptions, more incompletions, and all that. There are two main reasons I like Marcus Mariota to take a big step forward this year. First, and the most importantly, is the coaching staff change should do great wonders for the Titans offense this year. Remember, they was under Mike Mularkey. The Titans offense, it ran one of the most conservative and boring offenses in the league, despite having a dynamic quarterback out there. As I like to call the exotic smash mouth style that the coach instituted in Tennessee resulted in a slow, deliberate style play that saw the fourth fewest offensive plays, offensive run plays per game in the league, and the fifth fewest pass attempts. This style is obviously not conducive to a quarterback putting up the big fantasy numbers that Marcus Mariota is capable of putting up. Now, the new coach in Tennessee, everybody should know the name. He was the Houston Texans defensive coordinator. Before that, he was on the Patriots staff at New England. He was also one of their best defensive players, Mike Vrabel. We don't know how for sure how Vrabel will run the offense, but chances are he was going to open it up more than Mike Mularkey did. Mariota's legs should have him as a top 15 quarterback, but with Mularkey's style of offense he chose to run, it did. But when Vrabel came in, he brought in a new offensive coordinator, and that was Matt LaFleur, who worked under two of the most creative offensive minds in the game today, Sean McVay, Los Angeles Rams, and Kyle Shanahan, who, look what he did in Atlanta with the Falcons, Matt Ryan, and look what he's doing in San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo. I know I probably butchered that last name, but Jimmy G. While this is LaFleur's first official offensive coordinator position, it is likely he will bring the similar concepts with him that were so successful for Jared Goff last year. And it ain't like the Titans' offense is bare. You have, last year, you had DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry. Well, DeMarco Murray is gone, but Derrick Henry is still there. You still have the underrated Rishard Matthews. You have Corey Davis, who struggled with the injuries, but he flashed in certain games, particularly in the playoff loss to the Patriots. Corey Davis showed up last year. He was getting fully healthy. That gives you a glimpse of what this offense could do. And you saw the raw talent he could be to be a top 10 wide receiver in this league. At tight end, you have the ever-reliable Delanie Walker and Jonnu Smith. Their pass catch threats, great athleticism, and they can stretch the offense. Will open up the passing game, running game. So the Marcus Mariota could be a steal this year. Also, number two, running back Tariq Cohen, a product of North Carolina A&T University that's an hour, 15 minutes away from me. I saw this young man play in college one time, watched him on TV a couple times. This kid is electric, but he's in a RB2 with Chicago. Chicago's running back, Jordan Howard. And while I still believe that Jordan Howard is a top 15 back, RB1, Tariq Cohen will be a good RB2. Running back two, and but he played in a very, very conservative offense at Chicago under John Fox. And anybody watched John Fox in Denver, in Carolina, it was pitiful. He held back Mitchell Trubisky. He can be a potential breakout. But Tariq Cohen intrigues me the most. He has Matt Nagy, who was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City. Look what he did last year with the rookie of the year, Kareem Hunt, who people who drafted him got a steal in the late rounds if they drafted Kareem Hunt. Yes, you can tell a little bit of a little adrenaline there. I was one of the ones who drafted him in the late rounds of our draft, and he helped carry me to a league championship 2 years in a row. Yes, I know I didn't have him the first year, but he helped me sustain it back-to-back. But while I don't think Cohen Tariq will knock Jordan Howard out of the RB1 position, because I believe he does have a lock on it, because Jordan Howard is an awesome running back. Tariq Cohen will make a good RB2 for you. The third player, before I get that, we're going to take a quick break and let me catch my breath. But we'll be back after this quick break. Welcome back, everyone. And the third player I'm talking about is tight end George Kittle out of San Francisco. While in my league we have a flex position, Kittle was a rookie last year, and the tight end position is notoriously difficult for rookies to produce in the NFL, especially if you're an unheralded player drafted outside the first three rounds of the NFL draft. Kittle, who was drafted fifth last year, that had major talent, and he had major talent drafted in front of him. We all know O.J. Howard, Alabama, Evan Engram, and Njoku out of Cleveland, Engram, New York Giants. Just to name a few, however, Kittle produced the second most receptions, 43 among rookie tight ends, despite playing with several different quarterbacks. Despite this production, Kittle's is highlight reel catches and only scored two touchdowns. Kittle is nowhere near a household name and doesn't have the draft pedigree. He did not make many highlight reel catches and only scored two touchdowns all year. These facts should have the 49ers tight end flying under the radar in fantasy circles right now, meaning it is a perfect time to draft him. Kittle has three main things going for him. First, he has the measurables. He is an underrated talent who is capable and willing, who loves to hit, make him hard to take off the field. He can stay in and block and go out and catch. He has 4.52 speed, which is excellent for his frame, and he shows solid explosiveness when coming offline. He has great hands, dropping one pass in his college career. Kells was drafted by the current coaching staff, which means he is a safe investment for someone in a Destiny League if you have the tight end position. And he had a productive rookie season. And the third and most importantly, the 49ers offense has got stability at the quarterback position for the first time since Joe Montana. And I am losing his name, the other quarterback that tucked over for Joe Montana out there. number five. I can see his face right now. But they have stability out there. They got a franchise quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. And they ended the year on a good note in their final three games against Tennessee, Jacksonville, the Los Angeles Rams, which is all three playoff teams. Kittles and Jimmy G connected 11 times for 194 yards and one touchdown against the three playoff teams. The fourth and final player is Duke Johnson, running back Cleveland. Yeah, I know somebody's going to laugh because it's Cleveland, but I believe Cleveland is on the uptick. But much like Tariq Cohen on this list, Johnson is an undersized player, but he has immense talents and flexibility. Unfortunately for fantasy owners, Johnson is on the Browns, which I think you could get him at a steal. He finished in the top 24 running backs in standard and points per reception leagues. He flew under radar because of the, in some circles, the golden boy, Isaiah Crowell. But he is an immense talent, and the only thing I'm concerned about with him is coming up in draft tomorrow. Cleveland has two of the first four picks, the first and the fourth. We pretty much guessed the position of quarterback will be Cleveland's first choice. Now, it's all going to depend. Is the Giants going to take a quarterback, or is the number three team that's drafting, the Jets, going to take a quarterback? If that does so, that leaves up the possibilities for Cleveland to draft Saquon Barkley. That's going to put a hinge on how Duke Johnson's stats going to be. Yes, I know they got Carlos Hyde from San Francisco in the offseason, but I still think Duke Johnson is going to produce very handily as an RB2, RB3, or a good flex player for the bye weeks for you. But for those diehard fantasy owners, which is most of us, it all depends on what happens in the draft with Saquon Barkley. If he goes to Cleveland, that is going to hurt Duke Johnson. But if he doesn't, Duke Johnson could be a great pickup filler weeks for the bye weeks. So we'll have to see. And players outside of this list that didn't make my top four that would be worth good looks for you would be quarterback of Chicago, Mitchell Trubisky, or Jimmy G, San Francisco, another running back, Jerick McKinnon, San Francisco, who signed there. He's going to be the lead back. Aaron Jones out of Green Bay, Kenny Stills, Miami, Jameson Crowder, Washington, Trey Burton, Chicago, another Bears, and Vance McDonald out of Pittsburgh. I hope that this gives you the list. Feel free to follow me on Twitter. It's TheGuruIFF. Follow me on Twitter. And remember, next week we're going to be releasing our top 250 players with a twist. So if you want to check that out, see what that twist is, I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to join us next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, 11 p.m. on Wednesday night. This is The Guru. Sign off, and let's win them fantasy leagues.